Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 118, What to Wear for Cold Weather Running. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Now let's talk about running in the cold. Running when it's cold is just as much of a challenge as running when it's hot. If you have the right gear, it's not too bad, but without it, running can be miserable, and that can really mess with your motivation to get out there on any given cold day. Today, I have tips and tricks to share, but first, a word about The Human Race. It's a documentary I mentioned a while back about runners over 50. If you enjoy inspirational films, feel-good films, films that can change your outlook on life in the best possible way, this one will be for you, no matter what your age. But it's not made yet. First, we need to raise the funds to make it. Here is a word from my friend, producer, director, actor, writer, and avid runner, Liz Vassy.
Hey, my name is Liz Vassy, and you might know me as an actress. I've been one for about 30 years. You might know me from The Tick or ER or Two and a Half Men or CSI. I'm also a writer, and I am also an avid runner. Running is very, very important to me. I started doing it when I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I'm pretty sure it's the one thing that got me through. I was curious if I'd ever have to give it up, and I did the research, and I found out, no, I don't ever have to give it up. There are many runners running marathons into their 70s and 80s and 90s, and I was so intrigued that I went to Florida, where I met Debbie, and I met a lot of runners over the age of 50, and I thought they were remarkable. I want to make a documentary about this group, about runners over 50. I want to fight against the stereotype of aging. I want to show people over 50 in the badass light that they deserve, but I need your help. I'm making this documentary called The Human Race. And if you go to Indiegogo, again, it's called The Human Race on Indiegogo, please donate if you can, if you have extra change. If not, just help us get the word out. Help me make this a reality. I would so appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And go visit Indiegogo. Thank you. Bye.
I'll put the link to the Indiegogo fundraising page in the show notes. By the way, your contribution is tax deductible. Even if you're not able to contribute, if you're over 50, we would love for you to send a short video of you explaining why you run. We'll post those on Facebook and Twitter. They don't need to be anything fancy, just you talking to the camera, which of course is actually your cell phone, explaining what running means to you. 30 seconds is plenty. Say your name, your age, where you live, and something about running, why you run, what running gives to you, why you started running, why you keep running, how running makes you feel, what it helps you accomplish, whether that's running or something else in life, whatever you want to say, whatever your heart feels. Send it to deb@mojoforrunning.com. I can't wait to watch these and share them with other runners. It's a really great way that you can help us get people excited about this project. Now, on to our topic, how to dress for cold weather runs. Let's start with the most basic rule of thumb, and we call that the 20 degree rule. It's just this: always dress as if it was 20 degrees warmer. Of course, that's because most people will feel like it's 20 degrees hotter than it is about 2 miles into the race. So you might be a little uncomfortable for just a short distance, but you know you're going to feel better soon. Now let's get more specific. You want to be comfortable during the time from when you arrive at a race until the race starts. That could be 2 hours, 3 hours, You know, there are some races where you have to be staged at a different location for a while first. Some races maybe where you have to ride a bus to the other end of the race and run back, or to the other end of the race course. So sometimes it can be a really long time. And if you spend that time shivering, you will have sapped quite a lot of energy that you needed for the race. And you really are going to have not nearly as good of a race if you're cold before the race starts. Of course, you'll need to also be comfortable during the race and post-race. When you think about it, sometimes, especially when we're talking about a marathon, we're talking about many hours. So we're talking about having the right clothes at the right time, pre-race, during the race, and post-race. So there's a lot to think about. In a nutshell, wear layers. Apply the 20-degree rule. Always wear a hat and gloves if it's below 40. But if it's below 30, concentrate additionally on keeping the core warm and do what you can to stay dry. Now, here's a valuable tip that many runners, particularly newer runners, get wrong. Wear short sleeves or sleeveless as your bottom layer. Never wear long sleeves underneath unless it's so cold that there's absolutely no way you would want to be in short sleeves. But most people in most cold weather conditions will get toasty a few miles into the race due to the body heat they generate. In fact, some people will tell you that no matter how cold it is, by the time they run a few miles, they'd be more comfortable in a singlet. And if you're not familiar with that term, singlet, I mean tank top. And a lot of people, no matter how cold it is, well, not a lot, but there are some people that you'll always see that prefer to be shirtless once they've run a few miles. But this varies a lot depending on the individual. Another common error is wearing expensive outer layers. This is a problem because you don't want to be tied down with an expensive jacket that you have to carry for miles. Sure, you can tie it around your waist, but do you really want to do that? Of course, if you're only running 3 or 4 miles, I guess that's not a big deal, especially if you're just doing a training run, because then you can circle back to your car or house and drop off that extra item. But if you're doing a half marathon or marathon, you really don't want to have to wear your discarded clothes tied around you for the remainder of the race. I suggest, too, wearing an extra long sleeve shirt over your other shirt rather than any kind of a jacket for two reasons. One, you'll be comfortable in that longer. If you have a jacket, even a lightweight jacket as your outer layer, you're likely to be ready to shed that by mile two unless it's brutally cold. If you do take it off and you plan to tie it around your waist, the second thing is a running shirt is much less cumbersome. So that works better. Now, sometimes it's a good idea to hold on to the shirt because, depending on the situation, you might get colder later and wish you had it. I remember one marathon that I did. I talked to several people, many people who'd already done it, and they all told me that around mile 13, you turn a corner and it's very gusty there and it stays much colder for the next 2 or 3 miles. So they advised me to hold on to my outer shirt. And you know what? I was glad I had it because that's exactly what happened. I was comfortable during those miles because I just put my shirt back on. The main reason to avoid expensive outer layers is that a great option is to hide your outer layer in the bushes or some other area and then go back and get it after the race. Now, let's talk about this option. First, realize that your fellow runners are not there to steal your clothes. However, if it's a fancy jacket, well, unfortunately, someone might grab it. But that will only happen if someone who is dishonest actually sees where you hide it. Yes, hide it. Bushes are great for this. If you find a good flower bed, it's easy to hide it in the foliage, making it impossible for anyone to find unless they know where it is. And the only way they'd know where it is would be if they happen to see you hide it. So the only people you have to worry about are bystanders or the people that are racing alongside you. But runners that are running with you are very unlikely to follow you over there and, when you get out of sight, grab your jacket. But that is a reason why you don't want it to be expensive, just in case somebody did take it. Many times I've seen runners frantic with clothes they want to discard prior to a race, but there's no bag check because it's a smaller or shorter race, or they have no time to get back to the bag check area before the start. It might be an article of clothes that you've decided you don't need, or some other item. For example, once I was at the starting line and I suddenly realized I was wearing my glasses, but I don't normally wear my glasses. Sunglasses, yes, often, but not my regular reading glasses. So the problem was there was no time for me to get rid of them. No time to return to the car. So I just walked a little ways away and placed them on a ledge out of sight behind an air conditioner unit. After the race, they were right where I left them. The chance of someone finding them during the race was nil. The chance of them wanting them, even if they found them, was also unlikely since their prescription. They did cost a couple $100, so I guess it could have been bad, but no one found them. The chances, like I say, of them finding them were, it just wasn't going to happen, not in a couple of hours. One tip here, though, if you hide an article of clothing in the bushes, there are a couple of things to think about. First, the earlier in the race you drop said item, the better, because otherwise you might have to drive miles onto the race course later in the day to retrieve whatever you left. And that's probably not what you want to be doing later in the day after the race. Second, be sure to look for landmarks that will help you find the spot later. I speak from experience. Sometimes you think you'll know right where it is. But the thing is, when you're running, you may look to the side of the road and see a perfect target bed of foliage. But if it's early in the race, it's probably somewhat dark, and you may not have realized there might be several similar areas that you've already passed. And that can make it hard to retrieve that item. I once spent a good while looking for a shirt I had hidden. Even though it was technically a throwaway, I was attached to it and determined to find it. Now, by throwaway, you know, in runner speak, that means clothes that you keep handy just for such a situation. It might be an old pair of pajama pants you would have otherwise donated to the Salvation Army, but you hold on to them because they're the perfect thing for wearing to the starting line to keep you warm and then casting aside at the start. If you do a big marathon and the weather is cold, you'll see piles of discarded clothing several feet high at the start. Don't be alarmed. Apparel that is discarded by runners at most of the bigger marathons is usually contributed to homeless shelters, so don't think of it as littering. Another word about jackets. If you do buy a runner-specific jacket, make sure to get one that really is runner-specific, in other words, that has vents in it. If you buy a cheap sweatshirt or have an old sweatshirt you plan to discard, you might want to cut holes in it, making your own vents. However, a heavy sweatshirt is virtually always a heavy shirt is usually a better option than a bulky sweatshirt, almost always. You might wear the bulky sweatshirt while you're standing around waiting for the race to start, but you probably don't want to wear it once the race starts, even for a little while. Better yet, just wear a long sleeve technical shirt, like I already mentioned. A good rule of thumb is don't wear anything that can't breathe. Now, as for your legs, the rule of thumb is to wear long pants or tights if it's below 40 degrees. One thing I do now is that I always wear compression socks. So the sock, actually, instead of just compression, shin warmers or shin, I forgot what you call them, but compression sleeves, that's what it is. Instead of just compression sleeves for my calves, which I used to wear, I actually wear compression socks. That way I don't get a little cold gap between the sleeve and my foot. But I wear those and then tights that go to just below the knee. That way, I get a little bit of air hitting my legs between the top of the socks and the pants. It's just the right amount to cool me down and act as a vent. Before the race, when it's cold, I pull the pants down or the tights down to where they overlap the top of the socks. or I wear a pair of throwaway pants over the outside. Then when the race starts and I start to warm up, I pull the tights or the pants up a little bit higher to where maybe they're above the knee. So it's like a way for me to control how warm I am. And that works really well for me. If it's really cold, consider some good wool socks. But be careful of the thickness because they can be pretty thick and that might make your shoes too tight. So make sure you've experimented with a combination of those socks and the shoes you're going to wear in the race for some of your long training runs to make sure that they work well together. If there will be ice, snow, or slush, make sure to wear shoes designed to keep it out. And you'll want to avoid mesh shoes. Some shoes are actually made so that they drain very easily, but they also will let your toes and your feet get wet. And you don't want to be cold and wet. If you must run in these conditions, you might want to try the Ultra Lone Peak. That's a particular model of Ultra shoes that has a reputation for being especially good in those conditions. And I'll link to an article about winter running shoes in the show notes. Nothing will make you more miserable, I don't think, than having cold toes. Another thing I've done before, if I knew I was going to be running through an area where my feet could get wet, I've actually put plastic bags over my feet and then put my feet in my shoes. And that's not ideal, but it's better than having wet toes. And when you get beyond that place in the race, you can always take the bags off. People tend to lose heat through their head and hands. So make sure you have a hat and gloves. You can buy a cheap pair of gloves for $5 or less at a big box store or in a pinch, even at a 7-Eleven. Unless it's crazy cold, these will work great. And because they're inexpensive, you can toss them, or if you happen to drop one, it's no big deal. If it's below 30, you may want to wear gloves that are more like you would actually wear in cold climate or if you're skiing or something. Gloves that are made to be particularly warm and resistant to the cold. Same rule with the hat. Don't spend a lot of money in case you happen to drop it or if you want to discard it. Once in the Marine Corps Marathon, I tossed my gloves to some very cold children sitting along the race course. And then later that same day, I tossed my stocking cap to another little girl. And in each case, their eyes lit up. They were excited, you know, so it was kind of uplifting to me at that moment. If it's windy, apply chafing cream or other protectant in extra places, more so than you normally would to protect those areas. Also, be sure to protect your eyes. This is one of the benefits of wearing sunglasses. A plastic bag can be a lifesaver for numerous reasons. And here what I mean is wearing a plastic bag that you can actually put on to wear. The right size is usually one of those tall kitchen bags. And what you want to do if you want to wear that in the race or think you might need it in the race, let's say you've brought you're always taking the clothes when you go out of town to go to a race. You're going to take whatever clothes you think you might need. I highly recommend always taking a plastic bag and prepare the plastic bag ahead of time by cutting a hole in the middle of the bottom edge and cutting two holes on the corners or at the bottom edge of each corner. And that way you've already prepared it. You have a place for your head and your arms. Then you can fold it up and tuck it in your bra if you're a woman or put it in your pocket if you're a man. It will take up very little space. And when you get into the race a little ways or a few miles in, if you see that you're not going to need it, you can discard it if you want to. You can just toss it, put it in a trash can or something along the way. So a lot of great reasons why a plastic bag can be hugely helpful. One is that it's disposable. Two, if it should rain, it's perfect. It'll help you. If let's say you have clothes to keep you warm, but you wish you had a little something extra. Putting a plastic bag over your long sleeve shirt will actually cut the wind, and so that can actually add a few degrees of warmth to you. So it's not just for if it's cold and wet, but just for if it's cold, it can be helpful. And then you can toss that. Also, it's easy to carry. So, you know, I've gone through the whole race with one tucked in my bra, never used it and forgot I even had it until I was taking my shower later and I got undressed and it fell out. So always think about that. I would always keep one in my suitcase, actually, and always keep one in your car. In fact, keep a couple because your friends will probably want them as well. One caution, though, if you ever wear a plastic bag in a race, be careful if you toss it. Be sure you toss it away from where the runners are, because a plastic bag laying on the ground could, if somebody stepped on it, they could go right down. It could be very dangerous. What if the weather is likely to change during the course of a long race? Check the weather prediction, of course, the day before and the morning of. Sure, these could be wrong, but they're usually close. Then plan for anything slightly cooler or warmer. If it's supposed to get colder during the race, opt for tying your extra shirt around your waist. You may be very glad that you have it later. Sometimes you don't need it. You won't feel you need it until after the race. But once you start cooling down, if it's cold, you'll get very cold, and then you're going to be sweaty. So then it can really be unpleasant. Now, a lot of times you can leave another shirt in a drop bag at the end that you can get to have access to at the end. But in some races where you don't have that option, just think about that, that you'll want something comfortable when you cross the finish line. I'm a big fan of arm warmers for this reason. There, you can wear them with a short sleeve shirt. So it's like a compromise between long sleeves and short sleeves. I am particularly sensitive to temperature changes. So I wear arm warmers. Then if I get warm, I take them off, tuck one inside the other, and stick them in my running bra. I especially like to tuck them in the back. I can run many miles and forget they're even there until I start to feel cold again. Then I just reach back for them and put them on. I've been known to run a marathon and take my my arm warmers off and put them back on three different times during the race. The beauty of it is it's easy to do, and it doesn't even cause me to slow down. So I think they're a great investment. Bottom line, the colder it gets, the more layers you'll need. And if it gets below 20, pay particular attention to keeping your core warm. That's when that really makes a difference. That's about it. I hope that'll help. I don't actually run in really cold weather too often because I live here in Florida. However, I've done marathons and half marathons all over the United States, and I'm particularly sensitive to cold, as I said, perhaps because I have lived my whole life in Florida. So I paid a lot of attention to what I need to do to be comfortable so that it doesn't affect my ability to have a good race. Now, before the quote, just a reminder to check out the trailer for the Human Race documentary. I guarantee it'll make you feel good. I'll link to the Indiegogo crowdfunding page in the show notes. And go on Facebook. On Facebook, you can see our page there. I've got a lot of running pictures there, and also a link to the trailer there and a link to the crowdfunding page. And on Facebook, you can like that page by going to the Human Race Documentary. You have to have documentary behind it to find the right page. And don't forget to send your own video. Now, today's quote. There will be days when I don't know if I can run a marathon. There will be a lifetime knowing that I have.